Morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise with Forgotten Word Ministries. I'd like to welcome you back. It's been a glorious morning. It's a wonderful day. Praise the Lord. And we hope we'll be able to share with you the gospel of the Lord today. I want to talk a little bit today about, is the church today anything like what the church of yesterday was? And you know, we know that there's a lot that goes on in the churches of today that seems to be so much to me anyway, it seems to be so contrary to what the churches were, you know, especially back in the Bible days, when the Bible was being put and lived, when Paul and Peter and John and Matthew, all of them walked the face of the earth with Christ, and what's happened after that. And it just seemed like the Bible, the church has just turned so so strange in over the years. You know, a question that's asked, you know, I like to ask, and a lot of other people ask, is the church today like the church of the first century, changing their world and turning it upside down? I mentioned this in some of the articles, some of the program last week. But I'd also like to say, you know, or is the world turning us upside down as a church? Are we the one that's actually being changed? And I think that that's exactly what's happening. There's no doubt in my mind that we as a church have conformed to the ways of the world so much that we've become so much like the world. A lot of people like to say, well, you know, you have to change as times change to be able to reach the people. You know, but the Lord made it clear that He was the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have to maintain biblical standards that the Lord set. And we're not doing that, folks. We're allowing the world to change us, to change our way of thinking, and a lot of other things to go along with that. And that's certainly a problem. I see it as a major problem. You know, we know, you know, that, well, let's see, according to, let's do some Barna stuff here. Everybody's heard about the Barna research, one of the biggest research outfits in the country, probably the world, I guess you'd say. According to Barna, in their research, just 4% of all Americans have a biblical worldview, and only 9% of born-again Christians do. Now, that's really sad. That shows us, tells us, I guess, that most Americans have no idea what's going on around the world and don't seem to care. They like to live in their own little bubble. They like to live in their own little place and, you know, don't care about what's going on elsewhere. It's none of their concern. They don't believe it affects them. One thing that's, and the sad part of that, also when they did this research, I'm sure they done it with surveys, you know, and whatnot. Excuse me. Only 9% of born-again Christians have, you know, a biblical worldview. Now that's sad because let me tell you something. Everything that happens in the world affects us, folks. We, as a people, as mankind, are in some way going to be affected by all the major things that happen in the world. 38%, according to Barna, 38% of American adults believe the whole Bible, including the Old Testament, was written decades after Jesus' death. Now, that's something that's, and that just tells you, right there in a nutshell, 38% of American adults believe that the whole Bible, including the Old Testament, was written years and years after Jesus' death. Actually, much of the Bible was written centuries before Jesus' death. That tells us people that do read the Bible don't even know it. And that's because they really don't read it. They might pick it up on a Sunday morning because the preacher said everybody turn to Acts 5 or to Romans 14 or, you know, 1 John 1 or whatever. So they'll go to that little section and they'll hear a sermon that reflects to that. But they never read their Bible. You know, they just never read it. They don't, they, you know, they skim through pieces of it here and there. And that's what they call reading the Bible. 62%, only 62% of Christians know that Isaiah is in the Old Testament. Now that's a real sad state right there, folks. When you're doing a survey and you're asking people that claim to be a Christian, and you ask them, which is the old, it was Isaiah, was he in the New Testament or the Old Testament? I believe he was in the New Testament. You know, they don't even have a clue, like I said, of what the Bible, nothing about it. It's sad. Just under half, 49%, believe the Bible teaches that money is the root of all evil. I hear this all the time. Money is the root of all evil. The Bible says money is the root of all evil. Actually, it says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. That's in 1 Timothy 6:10. It's the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. Because money itself is not, it's an inanimate object. It's what we do with it. It's our love of it. We fall in love so much with money that we can't keep our eyes on anything else because money becomes our God. So it's the love of that money that overcomes us. Just like the love of having everything you can get in the world becomes more important. You want to succeed so bad that you want the best house, the best this, the best that, the best everything, and you don't pay any attention to anything else in life. That becomes your little God. You know, it's sad. So that, I mean, it's a very, people say, oh, well, you know what they meant. No, you can't. Listen, folks, the love of money is what the Bible says. Money is not the root of all evil. Money does not cause evil. It's your love of that money that can cause you to have so much evil. Money itself can be a great thing if used for the Lord. Is it evil to take money and give it to poor starving people and starving children and put clothes on people's back to build churches and buy Bibles and chairs to sit in so they can have a place to congregate and learn more about the Lord together and worship God? Is that evil? Of course not. That money can be used for wonderful things. But it can also be used for evil, and that's what happens when you get too much money, you become greedy. Because all of a sudden you'll start, well, I can afford this now. And I couldn't afford it before, so now I can afford it. I'm going to get me a tailored shirt. I'm going to have my shirts tailored. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? I can afford it now, so it's okay. I can buy $300 pairs of shoes now instead of the $40 shoes at Walmart or whatever. You see, easily you slide into that love, see? Here's one that just totally blows me away. At least 12%. Now that's not, okay, so it's not a lot, is it? Yes, it's a lot. 12% of the people that they interview, or 12% of the people in maybe in this country believe that Joan of Arc is Noah's wife. Give me a break. Must be the Ark part that screwed them up, right? I mean, my land sakes. Joan of Arc is Noah's wife. Duh, as them young people like to say. Stupid, right? I tell you, I don't get it. You know, I tell you what's missing. Let me tell you what's missing in the churches today. We see all these things we don't like, and you know, and there's a lot of places, people that have ministries that call for good things. You know, there's a lot of good stuff out there. You know, and they'll, if somebody's having a, I know I see emails from like 1 million moms and different other organizations where they'll say that so-and-so store or whatever is advertising bad things like sexual content in their advertising to lure the teenagers into their stores and stuff like that, and they want you to boycott that store and things like that. And I understand all that. Don't have a problem with it. But that should not be your first line of defense, folks. Your first line of defense is prayer. Acts 12, in the book of Acts, Acts 12 opens up with James dead. I just read this in a little article the other day. James dead, Peter in prison, and Herod triumphing over everybody and everything. But it closes with Herod dead, Peter free, of course James was still dead, and the word of God triumphing over those. Yeah, so it's not over till it's over. And that's what the power of prayer and the gospel can do. See, we have to have prayer. You can't, you know, in the biblical days, something was wrong, something, Rome did something or whatever, they didn't take up, you know, their arms and go fight Rome or tell everybody to boycott Roman goods. I read this in this article also and things of that nature. They prayed. They defeated their adversaries with prayer and with the word of the Lord. Even when being ostracized and going through these tribulations, one thing they maintained steadfastly, and that was prayer and the preaching of the Lord's word. See, that's what the difference is than in today's society. When's the last time you really seen a really sincere prayer group that was on their face praying to the Holy God for the problems of the world and the things around us? You don't see it anymore, hardly. I know some churches have prayer night, and it seems like it's all about us. Well, who in here needs prayer? Who knows somebody that needs prayer? But we forget so much because we concentrate on it, and there's nothing wrong with what they're saying. Yes, we should pray for each other always. But we sometimes, and most times, it seems like we forget. Just like I said earlier, there's a world out there. Like the Barna research said, there's a world out there that's going to hell, and we forget that it's there because we don't have a biblical worldview. We take the Bible and we just stick it in here for our own selves, and our church becomes the centerpiece of our life, and we forget that there's others out there also. And I believe that's what's happening. We just do not take the time to truly pray like we're supposed to pray. To use prayer as a weapon. You understand what a prayer warrior is? People talk about being a prayer warrior. Well, a prayer warrior is someone who prays and uses prayer as a weapon against the thing that's wrong. Whether it be a sickness, cancer, or someone dying, a family that's got under siege, or had somebody, someone's went on a killing spree or something, and those people need prayer, the ones survivors and the family, you know, the world problems, the people that's running the world in our country and others. Prayer is your weapon. Prayer is your weapon to battle this. And nobody takes their prayers and looks at it as a weapon anymore. They look at it as just something they spout off just to each other. We tend to forget that when you're praying, you're supposed to be talking to God Himself. You're supposed to speak to the Lord through Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and that's exactly what He is. And when you pray, pray in His name. Tell God in Jesus' name, "Lord, we ask You to help this world, to help this group of people, to help this person, and this problem, and that problem, and help us to overcome." And that prayer is your weapon. It becomes a mighty sword in your hand, coming through your mouth in words and prayer to the Lord God Himself. So see, that's what I wonder. Is the church today truly like the church of the old? No, it's not, but it needs to be. Listen, out of time again, doggone it. See you in the morning. God bless you. We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do. And we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, or would like to, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, C-A-M-P-P-O-I-N-T, two different words, Illinois, 62320. God bless you.